government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I shall be with you for the next hour. Before we bring on tonight's guest, I have some news that I'd like to give you. In case you haven't been listening, the Senate approved this bailout, and we knew they would. In fact, we kind of let you know that, my listening audience, several days ago. The difference between the bailout they approved or disapproved by Congress, the House of Representatives, and the one they approved in the Senate is to the tune of $150 billion. That doesn't mean less than $700 billion, but more. So now we're up to $850 billion. And again, we were right that it wasn't going to stop at $700 billion. In fact, the thing didn't even get approved, and they tack on more debt to it. These people are absolutely corrupt and even more so insane. It's a really a coin toss, which is their greater characteristic. Being insane or corrupt. Maybe it's equal. Maybe it's 50-50. I don't know. But the lying that goes on. Now we've got these senators. We've got politicians coming out telling us that certain members of the press are for this. Like those people count. In other words, the people putting out the propaganda are for this. No fooling. No kidding. Really. You mean to tell me all these years that they've been putting this propaganda out, they were really against this excessive government spending? How much of a kickback are they going to get out of this for their assistance in getting this passed? Because the media went nonstop showing us images. Now, the people haven't voted for this, and as far as I know, everybody I've talked to is totally against this. I haven't talked to one person. One person I know, and I know people all over the world, I've not talked to one person that's for this. And yet we have 100 senators in Washington, D.C. I don't know what the count is. I just heard they approved it. But I wouldn't be surprised if every single one of them voted for it, because I sincerely doubt that any of them are out of the mix. They're all getting kickbacks. They added things now. They added health care to this. I mean, I thought we had an emergency. All of a sudden, we have this emergency now with health care. And there's some money added to for a study on hibernating animals. Which ones are they talking about? Is this in Alaska? Does this have something to do with Governor Palin? It's just insanity. There's no explanation for it. So I'm not going to give it much more due diligence at the moment, but I encourage the listening audience, as I have, to call your federal representatives, call your state representatives, call everybody you can think of, and tell people how you feel about this, if you even have feelings about it. If not, I guess there's not much anyone can do to sway your thinking on this. This is corruption bar none. It's corruption all the way, and it has been talked about ad nauseum on this show, as well as written about in various internet publications. And I don't know anyone on the internet that is for this. Anyone that regularly travels the internet and visits the various blogs or political sites. So, that said, I have some good news now. And Seth, I'm getting some echo on my line here. I don't know if you can control it there in the control room. That sounds a bit better. Thank you. Good news. Evident Footprints, starting tomorrow, October the 2nd, and in fact, right now we are in October the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. But October the 2nd, my guest will be Ken Adachi on Evident Footprints, and we'll be doing a two-hour show, which will be simulcast now. From now on, Evident Footprints will be heard on We the People Radio Network. WTPRN.com is their website. Same time, you can listen here at BBS Radio, and we will be adding an affiliate. WTPRN is a Patriot network, and I'm going to be on that network too. So our family is going to be growing, and I can tell the people that listen to BBS that you're going to see some people call into the show. They do call in there, and so expect the pace of this show to get a bit more lively. I've always been encouraging my listening audience to call in. People tell me that they're spellbound by the information that comes out, and generally that's why they don't call in. They don't want to interrupt. But this show is for you, and we encourage your participation in the show. Now, tonight's guest has been on Evident Footprints a few times. I came to meet this gentleman, I would say probably around March and April of 2007, and I had published an article about the Federal Reserve, Nikola Tesla, and the corrupt Bush family, the Bush-Walker clan, and the genealogy. And some of this gentleman's research and his personal experiences in the area we're going to discuss tonight actually supported much of the documentation that I had found, but it helped me connect many dots. And I was able to do continuing research on the information that he had written about, and was able to find that his research was very accurate. And it's wonderful when you can find that someone else's research that you're not necessarily following as your original inspiration ends up in the same place. And I'm speaking about his book called The Bush Connection. With that, I'd like to welcome back to Evident Footprints my good friend, Eric O'Ryan. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's good to be here.
Well, it's been a while. We've got your book posted on my website, and I've often talked to some people that got your book, so I do know there are people that are not only reading what you wrote, but they're looking at this incredible collection of pictures that you have of some ex-Nazis or current Nazis from the World War II era. And we're talking about major spies, major players in Operation Paperclip, the importation of thousands and thousands of spies into the United States. And you had the opportunity to meet a very famous one, also known as alternately as an assassin and a bodyguard of Adolf Hitler. And why don't you tell us a little bit about how that came about, that you were to meet Otto Skorzeny, for the new listeners out there.
No problem, Don. I was dating a woman for many years back around the late 1990s. Sometime in December of 1999, her elderly father made a deathbed confession to me, claiming to have been Hitler's bodyguard, a former SS Nazi named Otto Skorzeny. Okay, Otto Skorzeny went on to claim that he had helped fake Hitler's death. He claimed he murdered Nikola Tesla. He claimed he was involved in the assassination of JFK, along with George Herbert Walker Bush. He went on to give me a shoebox full of 60 years' worth of photos of wanted Nazi war criminals who he personally helped hide and escape in America, including the most wanted Nazi, Dr. Joseph Mengele, SS Nazi Gestapo member Alu Brunner, Reinhardt Gellin, Walter Rauf, Martin Bormann, and he also told me an amazing story that the president's father, the current president's father, George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president, is not who he says he is. According to Otto Skorzeny, George Herbert Walker Bush is really the son of Dr. Nikola Tesla's illegal immigrant, German-born accountant, George H. Scherf, Jr. Okay, so according to Skorzeny, our 41st president wasn't born in America, yet he was allowed to come here to America and become a president and basically take over America. According to Skorzeny, George Herbert Walker Bush was actually a spy, okay, sent here by Hitler to befriend Nikola Tesla, to steal inventions from him, and to try to actually murder him, too, and to give all his inventions back to Adolf Hitler to help Hitler win World War II, which he most certainly did. Okay, I spent several years researching Skorzeny's claims and all the photos that he gave me, and I wrote and copyright protected a book called The Bush Connection, which documents the Bush family's connections to Nazi war criminals and other terrorists after World War II. And like Don mentioned earlier, the book has amazing, never-before-seen photos of the Bush family, George Bush, Barbara Bush, the Nazis, Otto Skorzeny, Martin Bormann, and other ones. Okay, so basically the whole Bush family was sent here by Adolf Hitler to help take over America after World War II. All right, and they most certainly have, Don.
Yes. Now, what was interesting is when your information came out, when I first heard you on a Republic Broadcasting Network interview, actually that was with Greg Zismansky, I was shocked because I was already doing some research on Tesla. In fact, I had done a bunch of research on how they secreted the bankers, or the banksters, as we like to call them, about 10 or more years before they actually enacted the Federal Reserve Act. And I kept coming up with these connections to Nikola Tesla. So I went into Tesla stuff, and I came across George Scherf, of course, who was working with him. He's described as a secretary by some. He's described as an accountant, an assistant. Even accounts of him being just the guy that delivered his lunch from the Waldorf Astoria. So you have all these different pictures being painted of him. But I started noticing, I noticed the Curious George story. And you had also written about that, which was kind of interesting. So we were both connecting the dots in our own way, and yet when your information came forward, I thought, I've got something solid to connect this to if Skorzeny is telling the truth. That would be the key, if he's telling the truth. And time and again, as I pieced information together, even in recent weeks, in interviews with scientist Jim Murray, I'm finding out some little details that help connect a few dots. So we know. Absolutely. If anyone has any doubt, this information is totally accurate. Your information, my information that Jim Mars has come out with recently, and some other really good authors. This is all independent research, Eric, and yet we're all coming to the same conclusions. Now, none of us got this shoebox full of photos that you got, and you were kind enough to let me use those and the Idaho Observer to get this major story out. The one picture that you have of all these figures with a very young George Herbert Walker Bush, so to speak, which was really George H. Scherf Jr. sitting in the midst of them. That was a real crucial photo. And there were many anomalies in all of these photos that have some really, really strange things that have been analyzed. As you know, Ken Adachi has analyzed some of the naval photos, for example. There are entities appearing in those photos, and these are not accidental events. This is not double exposures and things like that. So everything, and then when you compare that to the research of David Icke or Fritz Springmeier, it falls right into place. It's no accident that all these different researchers are coming to the same conclusions via different sources of information. What is indisputable are the photographs that you have and the amount of studying that we can do. Now, you have a lot of information. And what I'd like to clarify, now, you mentioned this was in the late 1900s. So are you saying 1999 is when you started dating his daughter? Or
1997. Is when I started dating her, and around 1999 is when he actually made these confessions to me over three different times over a 30-day period.
Okay, so basically all that information you got was within 1 month then, you're saying?
One month, 30 days in 1999, in December of 1999, yes.
Okay.
Whole shoebox and everything he told me.
Yes. Now, of course, you've heard this, and I've heard this. You get these people that come out and say, well, wait a minute now. The history books definitely show that he died in Madrid, Spain, in 1975, and he died of cancer. And they presume, you know, that that's actually the case. Yet, you and I both know that he did die on December 31st, 1999. And we know his name, and we know his social security number, and I can tell you, I've even talked to his son. Okay? You didn't know that. I've talked to his son. And I know he is who he says he is. And I can tell you, his son was very perturbed by the fact that I knew who he was. Let's face it, you know, this is our country, okay? And our country has been infiltrated by spies, by murderers, by drug dealers, by criminals. And we have a right to make this known to the public. So I mince no words in saying that or investigating those people. Their intention is to destroy this country. Mine is to stop them from doing that. As I'm sure you well are.
Yes.
Or you wouldn't have published the book you published, right?
That's correct. I put my life at risk many times, and I believe in this 100%. That's my goal, to stop these Nazi bastards from taking over America, like they already have.
Yes. Well, they're in the process, but they haven't totally succeeded. Now, that said, anyone that wants to look at why the world, especially our country, is going through the contortions it's going through right now, it's because of who these people are. Would you agree with that, Eric? Or, you know, am I blowing smoke?
Oh, not at all. Basically, Don, the problems we have today all started at least 60 years ago after World War II, when the United States illegally brought all these Nazi war criminals to America. The Nazis were able to use stolen American-made Tesla technology, along with stolen Jewish Holocaust money, to merge the whole SS Gestapo with the American OSS after World War II to form the CIA. Okay, and all this, the CIA is basically Hitler's Fourth Reich in America that took us over. And that's the reason we're in the fascist government situation that we're in today, is because of these Nazis that America brought over after World War II in 1945.
Yes. Now, people think, oh, well, they're in the military. But we know they're in all branches of the military. In fact, we know that naval intelligence oversees everything. Even the space program is really run under the auspice of the Navy. And I'm sure Scorzani, or I should ask you, did he mention anything about NASA to you, for example?
He actually worked for the U.S. Air Force. His dog tag said he worked for the Air Force. So you're absolutely right there. The CIA has Nazi plants or spies in all branches of the government. He really didn't mention NASA, so to speak, but of course, Operation Paperclip, he brought over Wernher von Braun and all the other Nazi rocket scientists. So NASA is filled with Nazis, too, for sure.
Yes, yes, and we know that. Now, there was also a lot of advanced technology. For instance, Scorzani was involved in the Philadelphia experiment, wasn't he? He and Galen had a role that played there. Well, would you describe that a little bit?
According to what I was told and what I have in my book, there was actually two experiments. The first one, the United States government had, they were experimenting with Nikola Tesla's high-frequency generators, and they wrapped the USS Eldridge, I believe it was the DE-173 destroyer. They wrapped it with cable and high-frequency generators, and they cranked it up. And it was, initially, it was supposed to help repel mines away from it by creating some kind of magnetic field to repel the mines. But what they didn't know that they were tuned to a certain frequency, and certain phenomena allegedly took place. Allegedly, these high-frequency generators were able to render the Eldridge optically invisible. Okay, the history books claim, or I shouldn't say the history books, the science fiction books claim that it also teleported through time and this and that and the other thing. That's not what happened. Apparently, according to Skorzeny, during the first experiment, it created some kind of optical illusion where it blurred the air. It created some kind of heat mirage around the ship. It did kind of glow and turn green, like a green fog appeared and whatnot. And it did appear to render the ship optically invisible, but it was still physically there. But unfortunately, the high-frequency magnetic fields were melting or microwaving basically all the crew members who were on board. Okay, so after the experiment, a lot of the crew members who were on deck at the time, okay, got fried, and their bone marrows got cooked from the inside. So they had no bones to support their flesh. So they looked like piles of blobs on the deck, and they looked like they might have gotten fused into the deck. Well, that wasn't the case. They got cooked. Okay, so when people actually, the reports that people got melded and melted into the decks and this and that, that's not what happened. They got cooked from the inside, and their skeletons can no longer support them, so they're just blobs of flesh, you know, on the decks and whatnot. Okay, that was the first experiment. It went horribly wrong. Okay, after the first Philadelphia experiment, Nikola Tesla refused to help out the U.S. Navy anymore because he saw that they just wanted to use it for bad purposes, and they didn't care that they were cooking and killing the crew members while they were doing the experiments. Okay, experiment number two, Reinhard Gellin and Otto Skorzeny had heard about because they had Nazi sympathizers in the Navy that tipped them off. So they were at the Philadelphia Naval Yards waiting for the second experiment to take place. All right, they actually, Tesla was not involved with this one. Okay, yeah, he actually was behind the scenes waiting to see what happened. But Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Gellin were able to sneak onto the ship, okay, and steal some of Tesla's technology. Okay, according to Skorzeny, they have Tesla created these what he called the rotating field amplifiers, which are basically, I guess, just giant amplifiers that help amplify the magnetic current somehow.
Eric, those are called utrons.
Utrons?
Utrons, yes.
Okay. So there is a term, a specific terminology. That's what Skorzeny had told him. Anyhow, the Nazis made off with Tesla's best equipment, and now that Tesla wasn't helping the Navy anymore, the Nazis now had the best American-made Tesla technology to help render battleships and other equipment optically invisible, and the United States didn't have it anymore. Okay. Also, according to Skorzeny, they tried the experiment, they cranked it up, and they were cooking more crew members the second time. And it was only because of Nikola Tesla chopped through the cable, the power cable that was powering up the generators from the shore. Tesla chopped through it with an axe to stop the experiment. Then he took off. That was the only thing that helped stop the experiment and help the Navy from killing more crew members.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the results from the Philadelphia experiment, Raytheon was granted microwave technology patents from basically stolen Tesla technology that cooked all the Navy crew members. Raytheon and other government contractors were the beneficiaries of Tesla's technology from the Philadelphia experiment. And also our stealth aircraft we have today. That technology was all pioneered way back during the Philadelphia experiment.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good explanation. Now, since you brought that information out, I was able to, through scientist Jim Murray, who's basically our science advisor every Friday on this show. He's my co-host. And we have been talking recently about the flying saucer technology, and he mentioned the utrons. So Tesla's technology, and those are those high-frequency generators that you referred to, my understanding is that in the Philadelphia experiment, they used three of those on the ship, and they weigh about 80 pounds each, which is why Skorzeny and Gellin only got one each. It's not something you can just stick underneath your arm, you know, and you know, unless you're the world's strongman champion or something. But what we found out is that Otis Carr, who he was the guy that bought the birdseed for Tesla later in his life. And I was able to ascertain from interviewing Jim Murray and talking about how old he was at the time he met Tesla and left Tesla then and began working on these flying saucers, that he would have been 22 years old. In fact, the year was 1926, Carr being born in 1904. So as a 22-year-old man, young man, but still a man, they brought him there to deliver birdseed. And there was a missing notebook referred to as the Blue Notebook. Did Scorzani ever mention a Blue Notebook to you? Did you ever recall hearing?
He never mentioned a Blue Notebook, but he did mention there's a Tesla's last will and testament and a bunch of his other patents for free energy devices and electronic cars and whatnot. They're locked away in the Skull and Bones Club over at Yale.
Really? Skull and Bones has that, huh?
Skull and Bones have that. They're in possession of Tesla's last will and testament. He had a contract with I can't think of the name right now, but to produce like on a 500 million horsepower Westinghouse. He had a contract with Westinghouse, okay, to produce giant generators that he mysteriously ripped up or allegedly ripped up. He never tore that up. There's allegedly that contract along with his last will and testament. The Skull and Boners Club had it.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, there's a connection to the Bush family, you see, right there. There's a connection. So you've got two Bushes that belong to Skull and Bones, 41 and 43. And so, and being related to the sheriffs, that's how it would have gotten there, most likely. I can't see any other way. Interesting. Very interesting. Now, a couple of things I'd like to ask you about. We know Hitler was in the United States. And we know that Hitler died in 2004. We know his alias. And we know where he died. And I trust that there are some pieces being put together there. But also, there were some other spies or people that were part of this Third Reich or the SS. And one of the most vicious of them would be Dr. Joseph Mengele, who you mentioned. Mengele, we know, has been living all over the country, not in any one particular place. They move him around. Name some of the places that you know he's lived. Share whatever you would like to, the things that Scorzani related to you, especially.
According to Otto Scorzani, first of all, Mengele, along with most of the other Nazi war criminals, are much younger than the CIA written history books claim. According to Scorzani, Joseph Mengele is actually the San Francisco Zodiac Killer, the real Boston Strangler, and the 2001 anthrax mailer killer, who all have never been caught. Okay, I have an alias. According to Scorzani, Joseph Mengele's alias is Stephen Rabel. He has lived in Forked River, New Jersey. He has lived in Hernando, Florida, and currently, as far as I know, he's living in South Carolina. After World War II, he was a laboratory technician for W.R. Grace Company, which is a large Republican neocon-owned pharmaceutical company. Okay, so basically, Joseph Mengele works for the CIA as a killer. He is an assassin for the government. He gets paid to kill different people. He gets paid to wreak havoc upon the public. And then President Bush can raise what they call false flag syndrome. Joseph Mengele was ordered by the CIA and George Bush and Cheney, of course, to cause the 2001 anthrax attacks. And then Bush right away says, it was Iraqis, so we need to go out and attack Iraq. You know, and then everybody rallies against around the president, you know, and that they let him attack and go in and invade Iraq and take their oil. So Joseph Mengele is very much still alive. He's still out there killing people, but unfortunately for the public, he's a CIA spook assassin. The government denies that he exists, so he's above the law. He's free to kill, and he will kill again, unfortunately, until something's done.
Yes. Now, I've seen some of the pictures, some of the more recent pictures. Of course, we don't know what, at least we don't have the exact dates, but if you take into account that if these pictures were taken in the 70s or in the 80s, he looks quite young. And I determined that he's probably receiving some kind of genetic treatment. We know that they have that type of technology, anti-aging.
Excuse me for interrupting, Don. But, yeah, he's had years of facelifts, okay, anti-aging hormone injections. He wears a cheap black rug on his head or a toupee, and it's dyed black. So he looks about 15 years younger than he really is. My estimate that today he's probably about 84 to 88 years old. But he looks like he's about 72 years old. And that's the alias he's living under, a 71-year-old man named Stephen Rabel in South Carolina today.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you as to where he is. And I would postulate that he's working for W.R. Grace. I would agree with you on that, too, just because of his location. Now, what's interesting about W.R. Grace is that company got its start in Lima, Peru, selling bat guano. I guess that's the slang name for heroin in those days. And it's quite possible that they did sell bat guano just to have something repulsive on the ships so no one would want to inspect the cargo. But they are a big chemical company, and I can tell you that that they are definitely part of this Illuminati one world government scheme just by looking at their landscaping and the things that you can see on Google Earth of their properties. Very, very satanic, much like Mengele. Now, did Otto talk about the things that Adolf Hitler and Joseph Mengele and Reinhard Gehlen and possibly even himself may have been involved in terms of the MK Ultra or any of the mind control programs? Did he allude to having any specific knowledge in that area?
He didn't go into full detail. He mentioned a little bit about MK Ultra and the Montauk Project, where they did brainwashing on kidnapped children and whatnot. He wasn't too specific. His main concern was just to be more general in regard to what they had done, and not too specific. He just gave me all the photos, all the aliases, and it was his hope that I would be able to bring some justice to these scumbags. His main goal was to bring, I guess, to throw a monkey wrench into the New World Order's plan. That was Skorzeny's last goal on his deathbed. Maybe he was trying to atone for his sins. A couple of reasons was George Bush and these other Nazis had continually screwed him out of money throughout the years. They disrespected him and his family in different ways, but mainly they continually screwed him out of money in business deals throughout his entire career, and he was fed up with it. And this was his one last way of saying, you know, F you, George Bush, and everybody else, these other Nazis. And he was hoping they'd get brought to justice. That was his ultimate goal. Mine, too. I want to bring these Nazi bastards to justice.
Now, he was he was schooled as an engineer and an architect. And do you find it interesting that he worked as, a contractor, especially in Florida? He was building houses or maybe some commercial properties, nothing, I don't think, too large. But don't you find that rather ironic that he... Not that that's a menial job, but here's a guy that was written about in all kinds of books. He was a topic for movies. I wouldn't call someone of that caliber a hero, but in some circles he was treated as a hero. Did he have any particular feelings, or did he make any statements about his lot in life in terms of having joined the CIA and helping them recruit all of these spies, these Nazi spies, and then basically being given the shaft in the way? Was he bitter about that?
He was bitter, and he wanted to try to, I guess, impose on me that even though he was a Nazi, maybe there was a little bit of a difference between him and these other Nazis. He had an honor scar on his face, a schmeiß, they call it a dueling scar. So after doing all the research and talking to him, I realized, well, maybe there is like honor among thieves, so to speak. if there was one honorable Nazi, it was Otto Skorzeny. I hate to say honor a Nazi in the same sentence, but he wasn't a he was not a Jew killer. You know, he was a true commando, and he was loyal to Hitler, but then he was loyal to, I guess, the Americans at the end. He never said many words. I was very fortunate to even have met him and spoke to him. According to my former girlfriend and her family, apparently no one really got to speak to him or meet him outside the family. And he was very tight-lipped. You know, Skorzeny really never said much. So I find mm-hmm. myself I consider myself extremely lucky to have met this individual, a living legend, so to speak, who I guess thought enough of me to lay on me this huge burden of responsibility by dumping on me all these photos and all these stories and telling me to go try to do something about it. I don't know if he was a nice person or not. I mean, his family, they were all nice, at least unless it was all an act. I mean, they were your typical American family. You know, I can't really tell you much more because I didn't know him really that well. Only I met him a few times. Luckily, mm-hmm. he opened up to me. But I don't know if he was a nice guy or not. To get back to the architecture thing or engineer, yeah, he was an engineer trained in Austria. But after World War II, right, he built houses, and that's what he liked to do. That helped him relax, believe it or not, construction. He liked doing that, building and hammering nails and that kind of stuff. And most of his houses, I saw at least three or four that he built in New Jersey, and they're still standing, and they're very well crafted. He did a good job.
mm-hmm. Now,
fine German engineering, yeah.
yes. Did he have an accent when he spoke? He have a German accent, or was that basically gone?
Long gone, just a soft-spoken old man.
Yeah, Yeah, my intuition kind of told me that. Now, there were a few pictures that he gave you that showed him at a reunion. I think it was August 18th of 1997 in Lake McDonald Lodge in the Glacier National Park. And there's an individual sitting down at a table, and you can see half of his face. You can match his ear with other pictures, by the way. You can make comparisons to other photos where you can definitely see the left side of his face, except he's wearing a fedora and a short sleeve shirt, a blue shirt. You know who I'm talking about. Who is that individual?
Oh, yes. Well, according to Otto Skorzeny, I have a photo of Skorzeny in August of 1997 from Glacier National Park at McDonald Lodge. He's with his former boss over there. It's none other than Adolf Hitler at the ripe old age of 107 years old in 1997. And he's sitting there in a blue shirt and a tan fishing hat. And the picture was of his left profile of his face. And you can clearly see he has a deformed left ear, and there are two crater-like indentations on the left side of his cheek, one above another. Okay, the real Adolf Hitler had a surgically altered, deformed left ear, and he also had two crater-like indentations on his left cheek. All right, according to Skorzeny, he helped fake Adolf Hitler's death. All right, so Hitler did not commit suicide in the Führer bunker. Okay, the way the history books claim it happened, they claim that Hannah Reich flew to the Führer bunker. Hannah Reich was a female SS Nazi pilot. She flew to the Führer bunker and to try to talk Hitler out of committing suicide. And unable to do so, she flew off by herself. Okay, that's not what happened. According to Skorzeny, Hannah Reich did fly to the Führer bunker. She disguised her plane with the help of Otto Skorzeny to make it look like a Red Cross relief plane. They loaded up Otto Skorzeny and Adolf Hitler and Hannah Reich's plane. Actually, before they loaded them up, they shot a Hitler lookalike, okay, right between the eyes. They dug a ditch behind the Führer bunker, threw some gasoline on him, and partially burned him and partially buried him. Then Skorzeny, Adolf, and Hannah Reich flew away in her plane to Austria, where the Vatican quickly hid out Hitler. Once Hitler was safely hidden by the Vatican, Otto Skorzeny turned himself into the Americans and became a founding father of the OSS and later the CIA. And Adolf Hitler, okay, went on to live a great life in America. He lived in Glacier National Park a lot of his life under the alias of William Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S, and he went on to be the oldest man in America until his death in February of, I guess it was 2006, I think it was.
2004, actually.
I'm sorry, 2004. I'm sorry, Don. At the age of 114 years old in Bethesda Naval Hospital. And that was William
yes.
Coote.
Now, Eric, we've got to take a short pause for the cause, but we're going to come right back, and I want to pick up on this topic when we get back, okay?
Great.
Folks,
yes.
You're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. My name is Don Nikoloff, and our special guest, Eric Orion, will be right back with us. Please don't go away. There's more to come.
Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Second segment of Evident Footprints and our special guest, Eric Orion. And we were just talking about one of the arch criminals of all time, dying at the ripe old age of 114 years old. Actually, this gentleman, dare we call him that, was living at a place called the Clinton Nursing Home in his official death place. According to his social security number, is Seat Pleasant, Maryland. What's interesting is Hitler was born in 1889. The published date is April the 20th, 1889. And the individual whose identity they gave to him was someone who died in 1931 and was born June 2nd of 1889. Very close in birth date, but obviously quite a bit of difference in the death date. When this William Coates, as Eric referred to, passed away, it was acknowledged that he was the world's oldest man at the time, 114. But then began a campaign to debunk that story because someone might be able to figure out if he was 114, he would have been born in 1889. Now, he didn't have any documentation to prove that, but they hired several specialists in gerontology. One, I think, was from UCLA, and he had come out right away and said that, oh, no, he had to have been 92. Although there was no proof for that. If the man doesn't have identification, you can't claim that he was only 92 years old. In fact, the story makes a lot of sense when you just look at the fact that it was Adolf Hitler. And we have other accounts from many of the people who were in the mind control programs, in the sex slave programs, such as Bryce Taylor, Kathy O'Brien, Arizona Wilder, and Cisco Wheeler are four women that talk about having seen Adolf Hitler and Joseph Mengele. And we know that Mengele went by the name Dr. Green, Dr. Greenbaum. I've talked about those details with Ken Adachi, who, by the way, is our guest tomorrow night. And some of this, Eric, you may be familiar with. Certainly, we know that what Skorzeny told us is the truth. It can be tracked, and if you look at the difference between 1997, and you yourself stated he was 107 in 97, you add 7 years to that, he would be 114 in 2004. Who else would that man have been other than Adolf Hitler?
I don't know. It's amazing but true, yes.
Yes. Now, it's difficult for a lot of people to comprehend that, but then again, we're saying the same things about many other of these Nazi spies. To your knowledge, which ones are still alive out of all the photos that that Skorzeny gave you, many which are published in your book?
Every one of them, just about. Joseph Mengele, the Zodiac Killer, the real Boston Strangler, and the 2001 anthrax mailer. He's still running around killing people. Martin Bormann, Hitler's banker, is very much still alive. He's living in New Bern, North Carolina. And these Nazi war criminals are funding the Republicans and the Democrats with stolen Jewish Holocaust money. All right, that's how they get all their vast amounts of war chests. Yeah, for these political campaigns, a lot of it comes from these Nazi war criminals and the CIA. Let's see, Al Lubruner is still alive, Walter Rauch is still alive, as far as I know, and George H. Scherf Jr., the most the worst Nazi of them all, is still alive, who was really George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yes.
But yeah, Joseph Mengele is still alive.
Yes. Now we know. I wanted to ask you something. We know that Bush is the head of the Dachau DVD, which is the underground Abwehr, or what people know commonly in the movies as the SS. We know that in 1976, Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, who was the head of the SS, was secreted into Oklahoma City and ended up, I found this through my research, that he was teaching at Oklahoma Baptist University as a law professor in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And I was wondering, although the story was that he was hung in the nude at Flossenbürg in Germany, we know that was a ruse. And in 76, he became ill, and Henry Kissinger took over for 2 years as his replacement. And then in 1978, George Bush took over the Dachau DVD. Now, Dachau had a concentration camp known, I think there were some 8,000 Soviet troops that were slaughtered there. Prisoners of war, they just slaughtered them. Did Skorzeny talk at all about that organization as far as their operations there in the Munich area and then how they were brought over here into the United States? Did he mention Oklahoma City at all?
No, he never mentioned anything about that organization you're referring to. However, he did talk about the SS, and what they did was they had rat lines. He was in charge of the Odessa, which was a Vatican and Red Cross and American-sponsored organization which secretly and illegally brought Nazi war criminals to America, South America, and other places. He was in charge of that, and the United States illegal Operation Paperclip, which basically did the same thing, brought all these, the whole SS Gestapo over to America, merged them with our American OSS to form the CIA, and then they went through and one by one destroyed all of their records. So even the own, our own government has no idea what happened to all these Nazis, because George Herbert Walker Bush and everyone else who worked for the CIA, they had different missions to go into the different files in the government and destroy all the documents relating to Operation Paperclip. So our own government has no idea who was running the show and which Nazis are who and this and that and the other thing. And so unfortunately, the Nazis are the ones who are running our government, and that's why we have the problems we have today.
Okay, my understanding was some of those documents were at the J.P. Murrah building in the federal building in Oklahoma City, the one whose bombing was blamed on Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. We know that that's not the case, pretty much, you know, like every other false flag event. Did he ever mention any religious organizations that might be holding those documents? The Odessa files?
No, I'm sure the CIA is in control of all those still, but they're not going to let anyone get a hold of them. But the actual files, the paperclip files, they're gone. They're long gone. All the aliases of all these Nazis they brought over and gave them all fake American IDs and aliases and addresses, they burned them a long time ago and made them disappear. So they have a huge, vast network of Nazi spies that are in America, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's maybe the cover story. I don't think they may have destroyed some copies, but I don't think they got them all. And you got to trust me.
I have the real deal, as you know. I have probably the best records of all the top five most wanted Nazi scumbags of all times. You know, I got what the government or FBI or OSI has never been able to do, at least not publicly. I'm publishing all their information. I'm committing felonies every day by releasing CIA agents' information. But if they come after me, then they'll have to admit that, hey, well, they do actually work for them, so there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, but the CIA is considered foreign intelligence, and they're actually operating outside of U.S. law anyway.
Right.
I mean, they're breaking U.S. law.
Don, can you tell me, ask your listeners or anybody, tell me one good thing the CIA has ever done for America. One good thing. Name one good thing they've ever done for America.
They created ABC. And CNN.
Yeah, CBS, all the rest of them, right.
And Fox News, and, you know, we could go on. Yeah, I'm being facetious, of course. They probably thought up American Idol, actually.
Oh, sure. I encourage people to visit my website, look at these photos for yourself, download a copy of my book. It's only $24.95. The website's www.thebushconnection.com, and you can use PayPal and a credit card. Yeah, it's only $24.95. You can download a PDF copy of the book. It's about 93-some-odd pages long, and you'll see all these photos that I'm talking about. And look at the photos, do your own research to make up your own minds about whether or not Don and I are telling you the truth right now.
Yes. Now, you've got some interesting photos in the book, too, and I want to mention Lake McDonald Lodge again, because there's an underground base there, isn't there?
According to Skorzeny, they have an Area 51-type base where they have stolen Tesla technology they use and also stolen Holocaust money they store under there at this national park, right in the public's view, you know, and but they have access to it every day, the government officials, and no one knows about it. It's mm-hmm. in a national park. Going to the Sutton Road way up top, Logan Pass, that's one of the entrances on the
yes,
road.
Yes, and you had the opportunity, Eric, to investigate if anyone at the lodge recognized Hitler, at least by his photo. And what were you told?
Actually, somebody had sent me an email that they were in charge of the VIP guest lodges for the past 15 years, and they recognized McDonald Lodge from my photo and the little old man as being one of their VIP clients over the past, as long as they've been there. They've recognized the little old man who's been like a fixture at Glacier National Park. But they didn't know at the time that was actually Adolf Hitler. But they did recognize that little old man, that he did stay there, and that was William Coates. They verified that.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So they're doing this in a national park. This is going on.
Yep.
Now,
yeah,
I've seen
Hitler liked it out there because it looked like his homeland. It looked like the fatherland. He liked it out there, like the Alps. That's what he thought.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And there's some evidence that he lived in a similar place in Argentina as well. Always, he preferred the mountains.
Sure.
But we know that Mengele and Hitler were on the West Coast a number of times, and likely working in all the underground bases. Oregon, I tracked Mengele there, the Ashland, Oregon area, and I have no reason to think that Hitler wasn't there, because many of these mind control victims described having been there and having met them. They were actually doing the torture or the programming themselves. So these guys just get kicks out of just being the most sadistic animals on the planet. You know, it's beyond words.
The Presidio too. Mengele stayed there for a little while when he was doing some killings out in San Francisco. He was able to walk right back onto the base after killing people. He got away with murdering people as the Zodiac, just from merging right into the Presidio. He had a government ID. He could just waltz right in anytime he wanted to after killing people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that Mengele's still out there. You know, he's still around. He's still killing people. But the government says he died in Brazil or whatever, 1979 swimming, so no one does anything about it. He's allowed to go out and kill people, and it's plausible deniability. He's a government killer. He's still alive, and he's still killing people, unfortunately.
Yes. I guess my next question here before we conclude the show, what was the method through which Skorzeny was privy to all of this information? I mean, he's in Florida, he's building houses, he's working as a carpenter, general contractor, on these construction projects. Who's feeding him all this information? Is he learning this from hanging out with these guys at, you know, because there are many photo op, opportunities, you know, they're at weddings and birthday celebrations, anniversaries, pretty much any normal family event. These guys are like family.
That's exactly right, Don. It's a fake, like a mafia family. He was basically the head, the Don Skorzeny over here, and all the rest of them were the Nazi mob, his crew. And of course, they would see each other at family events and weddings and this and that, and they would call each other just by first name. And most of his retired life in Florida, he was just retired. He wasn't doing construction. He did most of that work up in New Jersey. He had a nice house in Boca Raton for a little while and a boat down here. I say down here because that's where I am in Florida. But, he was able to just meet with his family. Everyone else just thought they were family, and they would have meetings and this and that. And that's how he also had a ham radio at the house too, okay, where he was living down in Boynton Beach. They had a big ham radio set up. So that's one way they're able to talk to each other through the airwaves, ham radio. His daughter, who I was dating at that house in Boynton Beach, had a big ham radio tower set up. So I'm sure that's another way they were communicating directly from what the CIA was telling them. They were just passing everything around. But they have their whole network set up, the Nazis, and that's the CIA. They're the ones who smuggle all the drugs in the country and sell the drugs to the gangs. Then the gangs sell the drugs to the public, then they funnel the cash back up to the CIA, they're all controlled by the government. These Nazi war criminals are also the brains behind the Brotherhood of Aryan Nations and other organized crime hate gangs. They get like the skinheads and whatnot. They're the ones that tell these young punks what to do. They give them the bombs and the plans and how to do it, and these idiots carry out their terroristic events, and they get away with it, you know, these old bastards. That's why they're still alive. And they're all good friends with the Bushes, the Bush family, George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, the president's father. They're all close comrades. That's why they're all free. They're all free to kill whoever they want to. And they live at taxpayer expense. Our taxes are paying for these Nazi war criminals to live great lives in America. They don't pay taxes. They get free health care, and everyone else has to pay for it. Another thing is Nazi war criminals, they get better protection, Secret Service and FBI protection, than most U.S. presidents and senators do, unfortunately.
Yes. Now, when you had this opportunity to talk with Otto, Were you of the impression that the rest of the family knew about this? Did they know as much as he was telling you, or did they have a different version of the story?
I'm sure they knew exactly what was going on, but they denied everything. I mean, I tried to coerce some different things out of the mother and the brother and at different times and the sister. You know, and they would either walk away or they would never answer me straightly. They denied everything. Like, they didn't want anyone to know. They were hiding it, of course.
Yeah, they knew. I can tell you they knew.
Of course they knew, yeah. They knew, for sure they knew. They knew.
And,
a CIA family. They're a CIA, family.
Now, to the best of your knowledge, when they were in these gatherings, did they call each other by their aliases? Did they refer to each other as their cover names, or were they out in the open about who they were?
Oh, no, they would always be their American names, George or Steve or Ed, or good old American names, Stevie, Ed, Freddie, good old American sounding names. Yep. Good old American sounding. They fit right in.
Now, I found it interesting that when I researched I researched your research, let's say, just to verify some of these things, and I had already come across some of the names or some of the circumstances that I knew that this was pay dirt, that you had hit it and I had hit it from another angle, and then when I compared my research to yours, it fit. All these guys, and you tell me if this doesn't sound true to you, all these guys got their Social Security cards in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's the majority. Yeah, Skorzeny was living there, Mengele was living there after World War II, sure.
Okay, all right, very good. So you were aware of that, and yet going through, the roots of following up on the aliases, I was able to show and come up with quite a bit of information that they had all come into, Inglewood Cliffs, for example, New Jersey, was a favorite place where they liked to live. But scattered about the state, some of them were in Newark for a time. And is it any surprise that New Jersey is a hotbed for organized crime today? So
no surprise.
Yeah, and then the proliferation of naval bases around the state of Florida lends itself very well to the drug culture and smuggling and all of that. So it's a perfect place again for them, especially when they get one of their family in as the governor. It's amazing.
For sure.
Did he, did Skorzeny admit to being part of that smuggling, the drug smuggling, the laundering and drugs for arms?
Oh, yeah.
He
was in charge of that. He was a hitman for the CIA, drug smuggling, silencing, threats, intimidation. He was one of the guys, he would go around that would sell drugs. The CIA would import the drugs from South America. And then they would arrest everyone else in America who was trying to sell drugs because they were competing with the CIA's business. They would take all their drugs. They would stage phony burnings where they would burn, a block of hay or whatever, a big bag of hay, and claim it was a bale of cocaine instead. They'd steal all the confiscated stuff, and they would sell them. And that's how the CIA works. But Skorzeny was definitely a hitman. He was a killer. He claimed to have murdered Nikola Tesla after Tesla told him gave him his best inventions along with Reinhard Gehlen. Skorzeny took Tesla's best inventions back to Germany. They reverse engineered them all. Now the Nazis had better American-made Tesla technology than the Americans had. So Skorzeny was able to use that along with stolen Jewish Holocaust money as leverage to bring all the Nazis to America after World War II. And like I previously mentioned, they merged the entire SS Gestapo with our American OSS to form the CIA, which is basically Hitler's Fourth Reich in America. And the CIA, as you mentioned earlier too, Don, is a foreign intelligence agency, and they're immune to all our laws, unfortunately. And they murdered President JFK. According to Skorzeny, George Herbert Walker Bush was the badge man on the grassy knoll, standing next to Skorzeny, who was dressed up as a military man. In the book depository building, where Oswald was supposed to be, was Reinhard Gehlen. and Joseph Mengele was actually or allegedly in the sewer. So they had a triangle of fire set up, and it was the CIA's Nazi war criminals, including George Herbert Walker Bush, that murdered President JFK, and the story. All right, Jack Ruby killed Oswald later, so everyone thinks the mob was involved in the assassination of President JFK, and that's not the truth. You ask yourself, who has benefited the most since the assassination of JFK? That's been George Herbert Walker Bush, and he became the director of the CIA, and then he later became the vice president, and then the president of the United States. When Reagan got assassinated, or when there was an attempt, Bush would have been the president. So, of course, he and the CIA were behind that, too, and they were close personal friends of the would-be assassin of Reagan at the time, too.
Yeah, Bush was a former business partner of John Hinckley, and that night,
right.
Neil Bush had dinner scheduled with John Hinckley's brother
right.
in Denver. You know, I mean, these things don't happen. They were getting ready to celebrate is what it was, you know.
For sure.
And then, you know, we had the Silverado savings and loan scandal. You know, it's the corruption, just wherever they go, there's corruption. Now, they basically ran them out of Connecticut and went to Texas. But then, you had the Bay of Pigs. Did Otto talk at all about any involvement there with the Bay of Pigs incident?
He said basically they fed the U.S. government bullshit. They gave them phony intelligence like they've always done. The CIA has never provided any credible intelligence to help Americans at all. They're there to provide disinformation.
You got to watch the language a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Use initials. It's okay to say BS.
BS, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, public.
But that's what he said. You were quoting him. So.
Yeah, I was quoting Skorzeny, that they fed the government BS. Okay, when it came to documentation and information and this and that and intelligence, they fed the U.S. government, you know, wrong intelligence intentionally to cause the fiasco, to cause the death of Americans, just like they always do. They always seem to screw things up by providing false intelligence, and nothing ever gets done about it. The leaders get shuffled around, the directors get promoted, they get, you know, moved around. And the worse job they do, the higher the promotions they get in the government.
Mm-hmm. Now, did Otto describe how they transported him into the country? Was it by ship? Was it by plane? Where did he describe where he entered the country? Anything like that?
He was too specific. Other than after Hannah Reich flew him and Hitler to safety, he turned himself in to the Americans, and I assume they brought him back on a Liberty ship. I don't know for sure. I didn't ask him. Could have been a submarine.
Okay.
I assume it's just an American ship. I assume they just brought him back. You know, I don't know for sure.
Yeah. One would presume he spent some time in Argentina because of his courtship with Eva Perón. And when
That's
she
correct.
Died, he was willed $100 million, which I'm sure that was probably part of his disgust with the CIA. You know who would have gotten that money. And that would have been Bush. So,
well, if you take Perón's last name, you mix it with Skorzeny, you get their current last name.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Oh, yes, for sure.
I've wondered if there was a connection between the two daughters and Eva Perón. There is a similarity. I don't know if there's a connection or not between the two. There is a possibility, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they did have a love affair. They were dating, from everything I knew about.
Yeah, and she was married at the time. That's what's interesting. But, you know, we've seen this in the genealogy of some other presidents. When you throw a little bit of reptilian in there, I guess anything goes. Now, did he ever mention anything, since we're on these topics of neutrons and flying saucers and... We know that the Germans had a space program. At least they were trying to acquire all of this Tesla technology and develop flying saucers. Did he ever discuss any relationships, any deeds, any business dealings, if you want to call it that, with any alien groups? And I mean off-planet groups.
He never mentioned aliens. However, he did tell me he was one of the few people that actually flew Tesla's anti-gravity flying disc that does exist. The U.S. government, actually, it's the CIA is in control of all Tesla's stolen technology. The CIA is in control of all that. But yes, it does exist. I don't know anything about green men. He never mentioned anything about little green men.
I'm not talking about green men.
or aliens, you know, alien races, gray men, green men, reptilians. He didn't mention anything about that. Other than there is advanced man-made technology that the U.S. government claims is alien-made. It's not. It's American-made Tesla technology that they've kept secret from us because the Nazis stole it from us. Because the government was stupid and they didn't protect Tesla. They let them get murdered. A dumb government. They forsook Nikola Tesla after he blew him off with the second Philadelphia experiment. They wrote him off as a mad scientist. But Hitler didn't. He knew he was a genius. So he sent Skorzeny and Gellin there to kill him after they stole his best inventions, and that's how Hitler was able to win World War II and take us over.
Yes. Now, what's interesting is I had discovered that George Scherf, Sr. visited Tesla on January 4th of 1943. Eyewitness accounts say that on January 5th, the next day, two government men went and spent the whole day interrogating Tesla. And then Skorzeny told you that they went and murdered him the following day after they had picked out his best inventions and decided what they were going to take in terms of his lab notes and documentation. And then Skorzeny flat out said that they murdered him on January 6th. Now, his body was discovered on the 8th, I believe, but they knew already that he was dead. They were just trying to make it look like this was something that was suddenly discovered. We know that the government was behind this because they were working for the CIA. Even though the CIA didn't exist, you have to ask yourself, if Skorzeny is a Nazi assassin or a bodyguard or this mercenary type, what's he doing in New York in 1943? And the war's not over. So they had to have been working in some capacity with the government.
Yeah, actually, at the time, George Herbert Walker Bush was in charge of the OSS. It was really George H. Scherf, Jr. So he was Hitler's man on the inside. And he's the one that Tesla contacted the OSS, not realizing he was speaking to his former assistant. And George told him he would send over two of his best OSS agents, who were really Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Gellin, claiming to be like MIT professors or something, ballistics experts, and claiming to be from the OSS. And they went there, just like you mentioned. They got Tesla to give him his best inventions, tell him how to use everything. Then they killed him and took off back to Germany and gave everything back to Hitler and reverse-engineered his best inventions that America used to have, not anymore. Also, he mentioned that Hoover was behind it, too. They were in cahoots. Hitler was in cahoots with the moral degenerate pedophile J. Edgar Hoover, who liked to be called Mary. He liked to wear a dress and be called Mary. Apparently, he wanted to be involved with Tesla's electronic devices, too. So they were in cahoots to kill Tesla. So Hoover was given power over to the FBI for like the next, I don't know what it was, 60 years, I think, just about, or 50 years or whatever it was. But Hoover was definitely involved in the assassination plot to kill Nikola Tesla, J. Edgar Hoover.
Well, I found what you were told, what Skorzeny told you, to be totally accurate on what I was able to, what information I was able to obtain from other sources as to what occurred in the days prior to that. Now, I would also agree with you, because one of the first FBI reports after in relationship to Tesla's death, which was just referred to as natural causes, when in reality, Skorzeny says they suffocated him.
Yeah.
And the first person to appear on the scene is who? George H. Scherf, Jr.,
right?
And I could tell because of the misspelling of the address. They used I think the address was 127 Secord, if I remember correctly. It might have been 149 Secord, but the name of the street was Secord. Intentionally misspelled, number one, to throw people off. in the Westchester, New York area. So this is a pretty ritzy area. In fact, I actually saw the property, and there's a golf course right in that area. So we're not talking about poor people living in that neck of the woods. And he says a Mr., he's calling him a Mr. George Scherf Jr., comes to me and is inquiring if some documents that his father may have are of interest to any foreign governments. I mean, this is just pure BS to say what you said. This is a concocted story to make it look like the son of Tesla's assistant goes there. Now, what's interesting is that in the story, he doesn't. He says my father or his father worked for Tesla, and he's interested if any of these valuable papers are of interest to a foreign government. This is in regard to a Leland Anderson, who's a physics student in Minnesota, and he's trying to contact the Scherf family to see if he can do some research for his thesis. And he tells this to J. Edgar Hoover, and Hoover writes up this big report, and it's all obfuscation. They were totally involved. That's the point I'm making, is that this story doesn't even make sense. It's just lies, but it makes it look like this really dysfunctional investigation went on, where there's two sentences, and several days later, somebody scribbles a couple more sentences, and this is all converted into a typed-out file. Spelling errors, punctuation errors, left and right. Just a total fabrication. And there were other Tesla documents that I found that are published as being from the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury would never write a letter to a scientist asking them to get involved in some kind of a project. It was bogus. It was just to mislead, misdirect people as to where it would go. I could see the Bush involvement in the theft of these things on the basis of where the contracts were going, out at sea, 60 miles off of Nantucket, let's say, and more in the vicinity of Walker's Point, where they have their Kennebunkport compound to this date. They were. Did the Scorzani ever talk about using that particular site as an importation or exportation site where they were sneaking people into the country there? Did he mention that?
He mentioned that Montauk is one point with submarines, and also, yeah, Kennebunkport offshore to fishing boats via submarines. Sure, Kennebunkport,
really?
And also
okay.
Montauk, yeah.
That and it's no surprise. I'm telling you, and I've said I've got audio tape of this. I've implied that several times on this show, that it wouldn't surprise me that they were using that facility as a clandestine, a secret kind of port. Just by the way it's laid out there, it's perfect. And I'm referring to that in the context of a letter to Scherf, where Admiral Higginson of the Navy makes a request to Tesla to develop a wireless system so that they can communicate with a ship that's parked 60 miles offshore as a warning. This is for communications in case there were storms and somebody might go get grounded 60 miles off the coast. And in reality, what that was just their communications devices, so they knew when a ship was coming in, when they knew drugs were coming in, or arms, or whatever, cash. So he did mention Kennebunkport then. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, Eric, I've got you booked for later on in the month. I think it's the 29th you're going to be on again. This was very interesting, and I hope you enjoyed my line of questioning. I think it's a little bit different from some of the interviews you've had, but I wanted to get into some of these areas because I know we're both still looking at all this information and doing some research, and it's interesting to compare notes, and I'm sure those listening to the show tonight, whether they're on our side or the other side, are going to find this quite compelling. Don't you agree?
Oh, 100%. The more the public needs to know about this more, put it that way. I mean, the more I speak about this, I like to talk about it. The public needs to know what's really going on, who they're voting for, and who the Republicans really are. They're a bunch of old Nazis that merges their philosophy with Republicans with a bunch of Christian fascism in between. And that's what's causing the problems we have today. But this whole stock market crash, that's horrible. We shouldn't bail out. You know, there's thieves, there's crooks. Why should the taxpayers have to bail them out? Let the executives bail themselves out. Let the oil companies jump in and bail them out or something. Or let the Catholic Church donate some money. How about that for a change? Let them donate some money, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, thanks, Don. And once again, to the public, real quickly, check out my book. You know, look at the website. View the photos for yourself. And make up your own opinions, as regard to who these people are. And you'll see that Don and I were telling you the truth. It's www.thebushconnection.com. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. And I look forward to the next time. Now, I'm interested. Are you still charging the same amount for your book?
And is right now is it's $24.95. It fluctuates from time to time. Right now, it's $24.95.
Okay.
$24.95.
Okay, and then does that include shipping or?
Oh yeah, it's you can order it directly from the internet and download it directly as a PDF file with PayPal, electronic PDF file directly through the internet.
Okay, now I've also got this on my website, directlightproductions.com, on the books page. If you want to read, and I've got a link right there to Eric's website, takes you right there. So as long as you haven't changed your main web address, they'll get there.
No, it's still there. It works. I checked your link. It does work. And I read your article, The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Don, and a very informative, a very great article. Great article.
Which one are you talking about? Part one, two,
one
three,
and two.
Or four?
I think the three and four. I read a book about that, the fake birth certificate for Barack Obama and everything else. Very, very interesting. You don't hear that in the mainstream news.
No, and in fact, again, I'm analyzing photos too, and much like you did. In, I mean, just the fact that you published the photos was enough. But you know, you analyzed a lot of the photos very well too, I thought, and the fact that you know, you have the courage, I applaud you for doing that. That's a very patriotic thing to do, and we're going to have you on the show more often. Again, you're on at the end of the month. And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, stay in touch. Keep us posted. And are you available if something comes up suddenly?
Yeah, give me a call. Sure. Nighttime's fine. Anytime's fine, Don.
Okay. We're looking at, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to be simulcasting as of tomorrow on We the People Radio Network. So we're going to have an affiliate, a pretty big network, and... also, we're starting a new show on BBS. It looks like it may be a three-hour show now, and it'll be on afternoons, Monday through Friday. We got a couple of things to hash out between the networks to make this possible. But if we do that, it's definitely going to be a call-in show. It's going to have a very important slant on the patriot side of things, and I'd like to have you on that show sometime. I'm sure many of the listening audience would really appreciate talking to you.
Hey, I welcome the opportunity to answer anyone's questions, all of your listeners and anyone else. You know, feel free to ask me anything you want. Sure.
Okay. Eric, thanks a lot, and you have yourself a good night and a great month, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you. You do the same, Don.
Okay, thank you. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Eric Orion, will be back with us later on in the month. Check out his website, TheBushConnection.com. Also, check out his book, The Bush Connection. And special thanks go out to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Seth Hendrick on the sound. Thank you, Seth. It was great tonight. And most of all, to my listening audience, thank you for all the email about the articles, about the show. I'm trying to get a hold of some of the recommended guests, see if we can fit them into our schedule. And with that, I wish the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.